Hi, today we will be talking about the most important attribute of data analytics industry, that is data mining. We have the data, but data is not useful until it is mined or analyzed. So analysis has a component known as mining. When we are involved in any sort of analysis, we are actually doing data mining to identify the trends. We will be discussing what are the things that are done in data mining, how data mining helps in decision making, and how it leverages or improves the output with respect to any business problem. Data mining is actually the process of finding anomalies, patterns, correlations, or trends in the data. You have the data, and when you are a data scientist, you try to identify the patterns that your data gives with respect to any business problem. It not only helps in identifying the right revenue chains or increasing the revenue chains, it can also helps you in cutting down the cost, improving customer relationship, or reducing risk with respect to any business area. The term data mining actually was coined in 1990s, and from there on it has been consistently evolving and has been continuously important attribute of solving business cases. Its foundation comprises of three intertwined scientific disciplines, which are statistics, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. Statistics actually empowers you with respect to the mathematical understanding that you have. Artificial intelligence actually empowers you by giving a front-end application where your algorithm can run in. And machine learning empowers you with the right amount of algorithm that you are using with respect to solving a particular business case. The more complex the data gets, data set, the more potential it can have and more useful insights it can provide to the business stakeholders. Let's quickly go through the definition first and understand what exactly is the meaning of data mining. Data mining is basically the process of identifying the trends in the data using various algorithms, which are identified using the huge amount of data that you already have. Data mining has an application in multiple fields like science, research, retail, etc. Data mining involves effective data collection and warehousing as well as computer processing. So data mining is also known as knowledge discovery in the data, because the ultimate objective is what exactly or what information your data can provide, which is currently hidden or are hiddenly captured with respect to the data. The key features of data mining are automatic pattern predictions based on trend and behavioral analysis. As an example, if in case I have the data of 10 to 15 years and I am collecting it every month, so I will have the data with respect to the every month since last 15 years. Using that trend, I can easily identify or I can easily predict using the time series analysis that what can happen in my next month or in next 6 months or in next 12 months with respect to the trend that my data is capturing. It can also be prediction based on likely outcomes. We might be doing predictions like if a consumer will come or not, will I be able to sell up a loan or not, will I be able to get a loan or not, will this person will default while doing a loan payment or not, will this medicine be effective on a particular patient or not. All these are the business cases wherein we are doing some sort of prediction with respect to the data, and these predictions are done or incorporated using the data mining techniques that we have in analytics. We can be creating decision oriented information which helps or empowers our decision making capabilities. Like if we have summarized the data with respect to the geography, we will be able to identify which are the geography which are primarily driving our sales, wherein which are other geographical locations which are driving least amount of sales. So we can keep our focus on the areas which are high sales generating areas, while the areas which are least contributing. We can also focus on large data sets and databases for analysis. If in case we have huge amount of data, our data mining process will be much more effective, because we will have much different type of trends, and more complicated type of trends, and will be able to identify what exactly can be happening in future or what exactly our trend shows. Data mining process, technological infrastructure required, database size and query complexity. Your database size is of utmost importance as well as query complexity. The uses are, it is useful in many research projects including mathematics, genetics, marketing, etc. So whenever we are doing data mining activity, we have to follow a consistent process. That process involves primarily 6 steps. Those steps are business understanding, data understanding, data preparation, data modeling, evaluation, and deployment. We will be going through each of these one by one. First of all, business understanding. Everything in analytics or data mining process starts with a business understanding. A normal question comes up and then you try to answer those questions. So the first step is whether you have understood a business problem or not. As an example, if we are trying to understand that this is my highest selling product, what are the other things that I can sell with my highest selling product? So this is my business understanding. I am trying to identify the product which are related to the highest selling product to increase upselling activities. So the business understanding becomes an extremely important step, because if there is a gap in the business understanding, we will be ultimately going to a wrong solution, or will not be able to identify the appropriate answer with respect to the question that was asked. The second step is data understanding. Once we have understood the business problem, we next need to understand what are the data understanding that we can have. This is an important step because all the analysis will be performed on the data. And if in case our data doesn't collect the appropriate variables that are needed to solve the business problem, we will not be able to reach to the right solution. As an example, when we are trying to identify which are the products which drive most or which are the products which have a higher affinity with respect to the product which is a high selling product, we are trying to identify the relationship between two products. If one product gets sold, what are the other products that get sold along with this? So we need basket information, we need product information. If in case we don't have such data understanding, we will not be able to collect right amount of data or right variables of the data. Like in this case, wherein we are trying to identify the product that can be sold with the highest selling products for cross-selling activities or for upselling activities, we need to understand that what are the basket sizes for each consumer. Which is the driver product? Driver product is mainly the product which is driving the sales. And what are the driven products? Driven products are those products which get sold along with the driver product. We need transaction level information of all the products. Then only we will be able to solve this problem. So because of this reason, it is extremely important to have a good understanding of the data. Then only we will be able to prepare the right data. The third step is data preparation. Different type of algorithm or different type of analysis require different type of data preparation activities. These are related to the analysis that you are trying to perform. As an example, the kind of analysis that we just talked about, wherein we are trying to identify the relationship between a driver and a driven product or the affinity product or the product which can be used to be cross-sold along with the highest selling product, we are trying to identify the correlation between two types of products. Here, our data preparation will be, we need to identify the transaction level basket information, wherein we should have transaction data and we should have the product data which are sold in each transaction. In other cases, like wherein we are trying to identify the defaulter of the loan, that whether this person can default in a loan or not, we will be identifying, or we will be doing a different type of data preparation. Here, our outcome should be in case of yes or no. If it is yes, that means the person can default the loan. And if it is no, in that case, the person might not default loan. So it's a outcome of yes and no. Herein, our variables will be related to the activities which can impact yes and no. It could be the salary of the person, the gender of the person, the household area of the person, the spending capacity of the person, the amount, the various income sources of the person, the income slab of the person, and so on. And all these variables will require different type of data cleaning. As an example, there could be few outliers in the data which are extreme in nature. We will have to nullify the impact of outliers. We will have to nullify the impact of missing values if in case they are in the data. So every algorithm will require different type of data preparation activity. Once data is prepared, we move on to the next step of data mining, which is known as data modeling. As I told you earlier, the data modeling is an activity wherein algorithm will drive basis the outcome that we seek. Herein, we have prepared the data accordingly basis the type of problem that we are trying to solve. But data modeling activity will be performed on the data that we have prepared and on the basis of the algorithm that we feel is the most appropriate one for solving the particular business case study. In this case, as an example, where we talked about that we are trying to identify the product which will be sold along with the highest selling product, we are trying to identify the correlation between two products with respect to each transaction. Here the algorithm that can be used is market basket analysis, whereas the problem where we were trying to identify the low person who can default on loan is a kind of a yes no problem, where we can use different algorithms like logistic regression, decision tree, random forest, and so on. So data modeling is an activity wherein you will be generating the output. You have to do it appropriately, you have to do it precisely, and you have to have a good understanding of each algorithm. Then only you can apply the right algorithm with respect to the data. The data has to be prepared in accordance with the algorithm that you are going to use to solve the business case study. The next step will be evaluation of the model. Once you have prepared the model, the next step will be to identify whether your model is giving you accurate results or not. As an example, let's suppose we have done market basket analysis, wherein we are able to see a very high affinity of a t-shirt with respect to a track pant. But we identified that the t-shirt is of Indian team t-shirt and the track pant is again related to the t-shirt that was sold. So basically it's an Indian team t-shirt and an Indian team track pants. Now we are identifying that they have a very high relationship, very high correlation. If somebody buys an Indian team t-shirt, that person also buys Indian team bottoms or Indian team track pants. Now if we try to fill our store with Indian team t-shirts and Indian team trousers, we will be fooling us because it's not sold throughout the year. So we will also have to understand that the result that has been generated using data mining activity is appropriate with respect to the business or not. In this case, we will try to keep it lower because although they have a higher affinity, they are not a kind of a product which sells every time. On the other hand, if we notice that whosoever buys a shirt also buys a bottom or a trouser, this is a good affinity and we are talking about a retail, any shirt can go with any trouser. So we will try to keep them keep a relationship between the two. If a person has bought a shirt with us but has not bought any trouser with us, we will try to pitch him the trouser. So all the evaluation technique has to evaluate with respect to the business problem. As an example, in case of loan defaulter or not, we need to understand what percentage of our values are correctly predicted with respect to the actual data. Let's suppose we are only able to identify 60% of the right cases. That means our model is giving 60% accuracy. In that case, our model is not good enough 40% of the time to identify whether this person is able to or will be doing default of the loan or not. And in this case, it is a risky business because if we give a loan to a person who will not repay it, we are actually doing a business loss. So our model has to be recreated so that it gives a better accuracy with respect to the business problem. Once our model gives a good measure and good evaluation, maintain a good evaluation score or good accuracy score, we can then deploy it into the practical or live environment because we can now use it for the production purpose. Once we are able to deploy it, we will start getting the results and we will use those results in improvising our business outcomes. So these are the steps that we talked about are related to data mining process. But when we talk about or when we do data mining activities, there are some challenges that always happens. Few of the challenges we will discuss. The major challenges that we see while doing data mining activities are the big data, the overfitting or underfitting models, the security, and the cost of putting the models into production or cost of scale. Let's talk about each one of these one by one. First of all, big data. We were talking about big data. Big data is huge volume of data that has a high velocity and can be structured or unstructured and have a huge volume. So such amount of data generally is a major problem, because if you can't, or if your company or your organization can't manage such volume of data, then you will be missing out the proper analysis of the data. You have to have enough infrastructure to manage the volumes of the data that you have. The second one is overfitting or underfitting models. You have created the model, but your model is failing on the evaluation score. Or even if it is giving you much, much higher accuracy score, that might still not be useful. As an example, let's suppose your model is giving you an accuracy of 95%. That means your model is saying that 95% of the time it can predict the actual outcome accurately. But is it the good news to be heard of? Not exactly. Why? Because sometimes what happens is, when you have the data, your data doesn't have enough trends. Because of this activity, your model is able to identify the limited amount of trend that you had in the data. That limited amount of the trend actually improvised the accuracy, and your model accuracy became 95%. But if in case you get a completely different type of data, your model will fail over there, because it only has captured limited amount of trends in the data. Under such scenarios, you will have to keep different level of data, different type of data, and have to do a different type of validations, like cross validations activities, which will make sure that your model is not overfitting or underfitting. Underfitting comes in when your model is not able to identify enough amount of trends to predict the outcome accurately. The next one is the cost of scale. If in case you are putting the things on production, or you are deploying a machine learning algorithm, you need powerful machines. You need powerful servers. These servers, machines, and all the activities which are involved in the product, in putting them live or while putting them in processing state, will ask for huge amount of cost. So those cost has to be managed, and it is always challenging, because every time it will be difficult to manage a higher amount of cost for the organizations. Then comes the privacy and security part, which is extremely important, because if in case your data get leak, you will miss out a lot more information, and which could be a risky business for your organization as well. Many firms to turn toward cloud computing and storage, because they feel that cloud computing actually draws lesser cost and provides a more secure environment. The nature of service creates significant privacy and security threats, although, because you are putting everything on the cloud, and if someone is able to crack down those cloud platforms, they will be able to fetch out your data. You are not keeping that data locally, you are keeping that data on the cloud server, which is a global server. And anybody, any specialized hacker, if that person has the ability to hack the system, they will be able to utilize your information. They will be able to see your secured information, which is a risky business. There are different type of data mining activities that are performed. We talked about the algorithm, but to talk about the activity that are performed and what type of algorithm takes care of those type of data mining activities, we will discuss the different type of problems that we have. First are the supervised learning algorithms. Supervised learning algorithms are those algorithms wherein you have a specified variable to analyze. Like, you are trying to identify whether this person will default on loan or not, whether you are trying to identify whether a particular student will get an admission or not, will this medicine work on the patient or not, will this medicine work or not. All these are supervised learning algorithm, because you have an outcome variable which gives information in form of yes and no. What will be the sale during a particular period? That is a supervised algorithm, because you are trying to identify a single variable which is known as sales. So in supervised algorithm, you have an outcome variable and your whole analysis is revolving around that outcome variable. Such outcome variables are known as dependent variable, and all the variables which helps you in identifying the right value of outcome variable are known as independent variables. There are various type of algorithms which drives supervised learning. Few of them are, first, linear regression. Linear regression is a kind of a regression wherein your outcome variable is in continuous form. As an example, sales. Sales has a value which is continuous in nature. I hope you know the difference between categorical and continuous. Continuous are generally the real-time numbers, real numbers like 100, 150, 200, 200, 0.5. All these are continuous values. So such type of algorithm which helps you identify an outcome variable which is of continuous in nature, you use linear regression, wherein you have one outcome variable and many independent variables. These independent variable helps you identify the value of dependent variable. To give you one example, let's take an example of a price of a house. Now, price of a house is a dependent variable wherein you are trying to identify the price that can be fetched from a house. Now, there will be various variable which will help you identify the price of house. This could be the number of bedrooms that your house has, number of bathrooms it has, whether you have a parking space available or not, total square feet available. So all these variables drives your cost or drives your price. So all these variables becomes your independent variable. Using these independent variable, you will identify what is the contribution of each variable in identifying the price of the house. With respect to the contribution of each variable, you will assign a weight to each variable. Basis those weight, you will identify the total outcome that can be created with respect to the price. As an example, if your square feet area drives 2 units of price, or your number of bedrooms drives 4 unit value of price, then for every change in square feet, your price will be changed by 2 rupees. For every bedroom change, your price of the house will be changed by 4 rupees. So using all these combination, if you put different values in each independent variable, you will be able to predict the values of outcome variable, which is the price of house. This activity is a linear regression activity. Then there is logistic regression, which works in similar way as linear regression. The only difference between linear regression and logistic regression is, in case of linear regression, your outcome or dependent variable is continuous in nature, whereas in case of logistic regression, the outcome or dependent variable is categorical in nature and in general cases binary in nature. Binary means it can have only 2 outcomes. As an example, whether a person will default on loan or not, it's a yes no problem, so it can be solved using logistic regression. Whether a person will get admission or not, it's a yes no problem, so it's a logistic regression problem. Whether I will be able to travel to a particular place, it's a yes no problem, so it can be solved using logistic regression problem. Then there are techniques related to time related data. One such technique is time series. In time series, you see the trend with respect to the time. As an example, if in case you have the sale value of last 25 years of a particular commodity, then you have the 25 years data point. You will be utilizing those data points to identify the trend with respect to the commodity, and basis that you will be able to predict the future value of the commodity. Such time based trends are known as time series, and if you analyze these data points, then it becomes time series analysis. Then you have classification or regression trees, which again works in a similar way. The only thing is they work in the form of flowcharts, that if a particular thing will happen, whether it will be happening in yes manner or in no manner. For yes manner, you can take different questions. For no, you can take different questions. The good thing about classification and regression trees is your outcome variable could be continuous or can be categorical, both type of problems can be solved using classification and regression trees. Then there are neural networks, which actually works like a human brain. Based on the various outcomes and various attributes and various contributing variables, it will identify the outcome variable. As an example, let's suppose I am trying to identify whether a person will go to a particular place or not. That's a yes no problem. But that yes no could be driven by various data points. How closer is that person is to the store, what is his address, what is his income, and so on. Now each of these data points will have a different weight or different contribution towards the deciding whether that person will actually go to the store or not, or yes or no. This each variable will have certain weight. Now these weights will keep on revising basis the output. Your algorithm will keep on assigning different weight and will identify the outcome of the dependent variable. The more accurate it is able to identify, the more weight will be fixed. So out of 100 variables, let's suppose two variables are fixed, their weights are fixed. Now reshuffling will be happening for the rest of the 98 variable instead of those two variables. And these hidden variables, which are actually contributing towards the decision of dependent variable, will have many layers. So they might be taking the step from in one layer or in multiple layers. So it's a out incoming variable. Then one level of analysis is performed and weights are assigned. Second level of analysis is performed on different set of variable and weights are assigned. Third, fourth, and so on. And finally, using all the combination, output will be derived in form of yes and no. Then there are different or simpler algorithm as well, which are few of the example is k-nearest-neighbor. K-nearest-neighbor algorithm works on the concept of the nearest value. That is why it is known as nearest-neighbor algorithm. In this algorithm, what happens is every value that has to be predicted, its various independent components are analyzed. As an example, if temperature is hot, if vehicle is available, basis that whether the kid will go for play or not is decided. Then if in case we are trying to identify whether whether the kid will go for playing or not, we have that temperature is mild, vehicle is not available, and other attributes as well. We will try to identify the rows which have similar attributes with respect to independent variable. Now we will try to see in all those variables in our existing data whether student actually went to play or not. Now here the value of k is extremely important. That is why it is known as k nearest neighbor. If in case we are seeing just the one closest value which matches to the existing independent values that we have, and that value says that the kid will go out for play, we will take that as an answer and we will say it as a predictive measure that this kid will go out and play. So here we have seen only one nearest value. So this KNN or k nearest neighbor in this case becomes first nearest neighbor. Let's suppose if in case we see the three nearest neighbor values or three closest value with respect to the value that we have to predict, we see that out of the three, two actually said that the kid will not go out and play, and one actually said that kid will go out and play. So here the mode value or the highest frequency is for not going, so the outcome will be treated as not going. Here the k nearest neighbor has a value of k as 3. Just remember one thing: when we are identifying the outcome or prediction basis k nearest neighbor, the value of k is usually odd value, because we ultimately take the measure which goes with the higher frequency, and in case of even, there can be a situation wherein we get 50-50% result, which will create confusion. That is the reason we always keep the value of k as odd value. All the algorithms that we discussed are a part of supervised learning, wherein we have one outcome variable and we utilize or we analyze basis the outcome variable. But there could be unsupervised learning algorithms as well, wherein we don't have any sort of outcome variable and we try to analyze or mine the data in itself. And it has different properties, different functionalities, and different usages. Just remember one thing, when we are talking about unsupervised learning, we don't have any outcome variable to predict or analyze. We are just drilling the data to identify the trends.